Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and we have a special day today. We have a lot to announce today, by the way. I'm here in the studio with Elgin David.
Yes, I'm here today.
And I am also with John Levine.
Good morning, Douglas.
And this is our first, let's call it our pirate broadcast. We are no longer on the WEI network.
Arr.
So hopefully those of you who are listening have jumped over. Instead of just listening to us at 9 in the morning, we put the show out whenever the hell we want.
Yeah, any time of the day. You can listen, tune in, guys.
It's like, you know, now at day, remember we were all talking about, do we do two-hour shows, one-hour? We get to do whatever the fuck we want.
True story.
Right, if we want to do
pretty
an
much,
hour,
yeah.
If we want to do an hour show today, which I'm thinking we're just going to go with an hour and a half. So, you know, 30-minute segments, no 105 minutes. Fuck that. We're just doing 90 minutes, three 30-minute segments, that's it. And so we want to thank the Ween Network. We got our start there, and everything got going there. And you know, listen, we're full disclosure here. I guess they have new ownership or investments in the and they wanted us to pay. They want us to fucking pay. Any rate, so you know, so we're not going to do that. This is a podcast. I already pay $700 a year for our website and all kinds of stuff. And so that's it.
So now this is a pussy podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, John and I was we're going to meet today, but John actually is joining us luxury of Skype because, you know, that's what happens when you got three people trying to organize a day. You know, we were thinking about this, and Elgin, you're technically a smart guy. We're thinking about why don't we have our own network, and that way, if we have our own little podcast, whether they're 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, we can have our own network, get our own website, and put it on there and get traffic and see if we can sell our own advertising.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. You just have to fill it up with a bunch of shows, unless you're going to play the same show all day, 24/7, Dougie.
Well, no. I mean, John has, you know, coming up short. You know, we have this show.
Doesn't mean you have to fill it with programs, you know?
Right, so we've got 2 hours filled now for the other 23 hours of the day.
You don't have to have it just looping.
I have a show that I do every week called Where the Mic's At. I do on radio.co. And businessandnevergame.com, we could bring my show
to
the
network. Well, there you go. It could be one of the things on there, and you can click on it. And I was thinking, you know, we've been doing three shows a week here, and each show is almost different. I'm thinking about just naming one show the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And from that, we can come up with another show. Like, you know, and you think about it, like, okay, which show would be really different? You got on Tuesdays, we had John Levine, of course, and Talia Brahms.
Right.
And then on Wednesdays, we had Peter Leonard and Elgin David.
True.
I'm wondering if any of those shows, any of those two shows, would have their own uniqueness to it that can be their own show.
Well, I know that you and John particularly, because every time I come in here the day after, you and John have always had some political blowout.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you guys can have a political show or something, like talking about real events. And then whenever I'm in here with Peter, we're talking about dumb shit and funny shit. So those are two completely different shows.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we could do the John and Dougie Scream at Each Other hour.
Yeah.
Which would air Tuesdays. And then we could do the Let's Have Fun and Lightheartedness variety show on Wednesday.
Let's get serious on Tuesdays. And
Why So Serious Tuesdays?
Yeah.
And Not So Serious Wednesdays.
Exactly. Exactly. That might work out. Anyway, this is our independence. We are on our own now. You can hear our shows at wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com or on Stitcher or on iTunes. So that's how we got. And we'd like you to subscribe. It's free. And I guess we'll get a real good depiction of how many listeners we have now as opposed to people listening on. We don't know the real numbers coming out of Ween because he would tell me whatever. But at least now we know because I'll be able to see it all.
Yeah, as long as you guys are listening and following us over to the news, channel.
And makes and make some comments. You know, and make some comments when you post in there. You listen to it, make a comment, you know, why is John so uptight? You know, that kind of stuff. Just make a comment.
Right.
You know, why is Dougie always think he's right? Whatever. I don't give a shit. Just say it. You know, that's where we're at. And shit, a lot has happened since last week. And, you know, I got a few things I want to talk about today.
Okay.
First of all, I definitely want to talk about Black Lives Matter versus the police. You know, this is a growing thing that, you know, there's, you heard somebody, I don't know if you saw the video of the sheriff from, was he from Chicago or not Chicago? Yeah, I think he's from Chicago. He was on CNN. And he demolished that guy who kept wanting to talk about Black Lives Matter. And he says, "Look, it's a racist group, and they're festering hate to police, and it's caused this thing to happen." And that was his point. I don't know if you saw that. It was recently on Facebook. It was a video.
I don't think I've been consciously avoiding a lot of
that
those
kind
stupid
of shit.
Videos on Facebook. Yeah. Like I said, I'm the Lighthearted Wednesday show guy.
Right.
This is a question.
You're on Tuesdays right now.
Yeah, I know, but this is the question.
You got to bring step up your game.
You got to shoot it over to I got to shoot it over to John on Skype, John.
Yeah, and I expect John, who's this, you know who I'm talking about, the black sheriff is usually on Fox.
I don't watch Fox.
Okay, I don't think you did because that's why you're not so balanced. But you know,
because Fox is the well balanced network.
But I do. I watch CNN and I watch Fox. That's how I balance it because I want to see.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think CNN is well balanced either.
Well, they're not. That's my point. They're on one. They basically favor one side of it, and Fox favors, and basically in between, you try to come up with some sort of idea. You know, the police were shot in Baton Rouge over the weekend. We had the cop shot in Dallas. You know, and isn't. This to me, you know, some people say you can't blame Black Lives Matter for this, but in a sense, it is from that. It's something that has festered from that hatred to the police. And, you know, could this be when you attack police, you're attacking the government. So aren't we just a few incidents away from Black Lives Matter considering a terrorist organization?
Well, first of all, let's back this up. So Black Lives Matter has come out against all of these attacks.
Of course they did.
And they say that they have absolutely, this is not what their movement is about, and they're a peaceful organization that's trying to bring shed light on an issue that's going on in this country.
Hamas says the same thing about terrorist acts in Israel. They say those people are just working on their own.
So you think Black Lives Matter and Hamas are the same things?
I think that there's a similarity in anybody just saying, hey, we're peaceful, when in fact what they're talking about is festering this hatred towards police and causing this. So there's a bit of responsibility that's necessary. You know, Black Lives Matter isn't an organization you sign up for. There's a dues, there's a fee, but they are a group. And again, just much like ISIS, you know, the guy who killed everybody in Pulse, he was really not a member of ISIS, but he was. His anger festered because of ISIS. He grew to like that ideology, much like these guys who shot the police in Dallas and in Baton Rouge. Now were basically saying that they're for Black Lives Matter.
But I don't think the Black Lives Matter are telling them to go shoot police.
No, they're not. No one's instructing.
That's not their. They're not teaching that or preaching that.
And just because someone, you know, that guy in Orlando could have said that he did it on behalf of Disney. I mean,
but he didn't.
You know,
but he didn't say that. So why would you say something so silly?
Well,
he didn't say that.
The bottom line is because ISIS did not direct him to do that. He took it upon himself to self-identify with that group. So it doesn't mean that just because somebody self-identifies with something doesn't mean that it's pushing them to do that.
You don't think so?
I think you're kind of mischaracterizing the whole Black Lives Matter movement.
No, I'm not mischaracterizing it.
I mean, you're calling it a terrorist organization.
No, I didn't call it that. I said, could it be? I said, in the event if other things had happened, could you see that happening?
Hamas and ISIS.
That's right, because you used an example. You said that, you know, that these people say that they're all for peace and everything. Like, people could say one thing and then do another. And again, you're like you usually do, you're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I said, this is what is happening. Like this guy made the comparison.
You didn't compare them to Hamas?
No, I compared them to Hamas, and when you said Hamas, you know, that Black Lives Matter didn't condone this, they were against violence, blah, 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 and I'm saying that doesn't mean shit because similarity, a terrorist group like Hamas always says the same thing, too. They want a dual state, they don't want violence, blah, 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 and words are cheap. That's my point. You know, so we have here is a situation that because of its existence, the sheriff was talking about this Black Lives Matter thing, and he brought up some great points. He was like, look, if it really does matter, and this was brought up actually on CNBC, which is, you know, a financial, and that said that, look, in the words of Martin Luther King, this is not a racial thing. This is a question of moral character. You know, where are we at with moral character? Whether it's the police officers dealing with what they're dealing, whether it's a protester, it's moral character. And at this point, we can't just base it on race. If you base it on race, you're racist. And, you know, one of the sheriffs had mentioned it's not race. You know, cops don't, you know, you can't. There's no proof that there's racism in police work. There's no proof of it. There's just visual that this seems to be that. And we've already proven that, you know, police shoot more whites than blacks. It's not when they look at something, they're basing it on everything they do. So it's kind of a crazy thing to say, hey, 8 to 10 people, black guys were shot by white officers. But there was hundreds, if not thousands, of people murdered by other blacks by blacks. And you would think that why would somebody concentrate on something where a handful of people die, where hundreds die? At the hands of their own community. So I think it's interesting that, you know, and again, the Black Lives Matter started on a farce under Michael Brown, you know, because he had his hands up. That whole movement started with a farce that something wasn't even true. It wasn't even valid. You know, and President Obama went to go see Michael Brown's family. The guy was a thug. He tried to attack the police officer, and our president is going to visit this guy. And, you know, did he visit the police officers' families? You know, did he visit them? Did he go see them?
Yeah, he spoke at the eulogy.
Did he visit
Dallas.
The families, though? Did the families
yes,
get...
Yes, he met with all the families of the five right. officers that were killed.
All right, good. I'm glad he did something.
Well, I think it's messed
sorry,
up about
sorry
the
to
whole...
ruin your point.
The whole Black Lives Matter thing is that it stands for something good within the black community, but unfortunately... Because, you know, it is true that a lot of black pedestrians and people driving in cars have been getting shot and killed by police officers. And what bothers me about the Black Lives Movement or Black Lives Matter is that the retaliation is coming against like innocent cops as opposed to like the actual cops who did it. But then I guess they would argue that, well, we were innocent when we were shot by the cops. So it's like, I don't know what is going to happen or what's going to come out from it, but it's just everybody just needs to like fucking come to some sort of conclusion and just love each other.
It's
man.
All, that's the problem. It's all reactionary. This movement and these things that are causing that. You know, over the weekend before the killings of the Baton Rouge police officers, I thought to myself, look, I even had a bit of a turn of heart. You know, because JB Ball was here last night. Last week he was basically saying, hey, he got pulled over, he got harassed, and you know, and you could see that happening. You know, it's these things. You know, these things do happen. They don't not happen. You know, but I said, you know what? In a case where you have a situation like this, where a cop kills an unarmed potential suspect that turns out to be innocent, and if there's an investigation and the cop is found guilty, I'm all for firing him. He's done. Take his badge, have him go to prison. And you know what? What should happen, the police department should do, is that for every time this happens with a police officer, they're found guilty of this type of action, that their pension, right, if they still keep their pension, if not, their pension should be forfeited to a like the NAACP, United Negro College Fund, you know what I mean? Something that the police departments would have to then in the, you know, almost like financially force them to get better training. In other words, if you got cops that are killing black kids for no reason and it's happening, then that cop should get fired and a part of his pension should be sacrificed over to a United Negro College Fund or scholarships for young black kids trying to get into college, right? That would be, you know, because shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to have shit happening out there.
Or give it to the family of the...
Because you're going to have a civil suit. What I'm saying is, on a more mass scale, that any time this happens, that police department, that police officer are going to be responsible for donating a certain
but
amount of
it's
money.
Not like, sure. It's not like
what
it's
are
a
you
new...
What about $15,000? I mean, if it's one cop and his pension... Gonna, I mean,
so what
on,
you're
I
mean, saying,
it's
John...
It's not like it's a new problem anyway. It's just that there's more surveillance now, and everyone can see it happening.
More visible.
And that's why people are taking such a bigger stand, because they're more aware to it.
Right.
It's not something that's been happening just over the last couple of years. This has been going on for a long time.
But
and
a lot of people,
now
a lot
it's
of,
more in the public eye.
A lot of people saying there's a lot of unarmed white people being shot, but no one talks about it. And, you know, again, we went over the stats. There's 65-67% of people that are shot by police are white. You know, so it's not like it's not happening. It's just not drawing any attention. In that case, it doesn't matter. So, you know, but my point, and as John said, what John's saying is if it doesn't happen that often, then what kind of money is it going to raise? And my point is if it doesn't add up that often, people shouldn't be standing out in the middle of a fucking highway and stopping traffic over it if it's not
if
happening.
If it happens once, it's not, you know what I mean? We're talking about a human life.
Yeah, okay, John, I understand.
So there's not a threshold of like, well, if it happens more than three times, then we could be mad about
it. Well, no, I'm just saying, if the Black Lives Matter group, they want to spend time doing something, they should do something about all the inner city killings, all the black on black crime, because that's like saying, you know what, you know, I got a paper cut on my finger, and I'm going to worry more about getting Band-Aids, and I'm going to worry about the cancer that's festering in my lungs. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous, and that's the hypocrisy that the public is seeing, and that's
so they
why
shouldn't be mad about this.
No, John, you're asking if people should act and have emotions. No, that's the stupidest question anybody could ever ask anybody. Are you saying somebody shouldn't get mad at something?
No, you're,
Whoa, a second, John. What
just,
kind of
you
fucking
just made
question?
An analogy
what, I know, but what kind
the,
of question
cut,
is that?
The paper cut on your finger rather than the cancer that's festering. So what to me what that's saying is that they shouldn't be concerned with this because there's another problem that they have.
They need to spend their time and energy on what's the real problem.
Right. So they shouldn't be mad at this. They should be focusing on something else.
John, that is the stupidest fucking question. That is a question that brings no relevance. You're not trying to clarify it. You're trying to angle the conversation to where you want it to go.
No, that's what you're doing, John.
No, John. You can't expect anybody to not get mad, fear, hang. You can't control anybody's emotions. And to say that I'm saying that is the stupidest thing I think you've ever said.
I'm not talking about like literally getting mad, you fucking moron. I'm talking about should they be concerned with this? Not if
they should
actually
be
getting mad.
There should be concern. There should be concern. There should be concern when an officer shoots and kills somebody. If an officer kills anybody, there should be an investigation. There'd be some sort of something on that. Okay, but whether there's this supposed where like multiple people are all getting killed and it's not, it's anything. It's police action needs to be watched, and do something about it. Get the body cameras. You know, make sure there's more investigation. Make sure that the community's watching.
To be
for
honest,
this.
The police wearing body cameras now are like a direct result of these things happening.
Right, all these things.
So
happening.
So these things are happening.
There is
now.
Progress.
Police are getting retrained. I mean, there's progress being made because of the outcry of this community.
Right.
So there's
like anything. There is positive aspects of anything, but there's a negative aspect of it. Now cops are being killed.
What's the positive aspect of cancer?
Well, it depends on who catches it.
If you got it, that'd be pretty positive.
Yeah, John, it would be.
I just want to sit on Tuesdays from now on. This is fun.
Just be glad I didn't get cancer before you know, I did everything I could to help you in your comedy career. Anyway, so, yeah, so you see what I'm saying? So anyway, this is, and again, John, I'm speaking as a person that's just basically regurgitating everything I've seen myself. I'm not saying I'm standing strong on one way or the other. I'm asking a question. I say, you know, should this, can this, is this? And that it is open for discussion. So, you know, that's my point. That's a big thing. That's, you know, that there are a lot of people are not happy about this. That they're like, look, if it really, you know, this is a backlash. If this is going to happen, where does the Black Lives Matter, what happens to it, any of its progress, right, of its progress, what happens to it now because of the actions of these fucking hoopleheads that are going out and killing innocent lives? In Baton Rouge, they even killed a black cop. What the fuck was that?
Right. Well, I hear what you're saying. Like, it's somewhat negating their cause to be, you know, they're trying to do something good to stop people getting killed, but then at the same time, people are getting killed. So it's like they're going tit for tat. You know
right.
what I mean?
And
like,
is that gonna, where do you think that's going to go? In
right.
other words?
I hear what you're saying. Like, what's the end game for the Black Lives Matter movement? What do they want?
Do you think police officers now are going to be less likely to be concerned if they're approaching a young black guy in a car?
No, they're going to be more concerned now because they're getting shot
more
out there.
Trigger fingers,
but the people and the citizens are being concerned too because they're getting shot too. It's just going to keep elevating on. It's going to tip the scales at one point or the other, and it's just going to be a fucking chaos. People are going to be shooting in the streets.
I know you and I talked about this in the past, John, but you don't agree when these guys get out in the middle of the highway and stop traffic.
No, I don't either.
No.
That's pointless. That's so dumb.
By the way.
I mean, I believe in peaceful, respectful protest.
Sure.
I believe that they have the right to, I believe anybody has the right to assemble and you know, get their point heard. But when you're being disruptive, I don't agree with that for any cause.
No, I think there was the recent case, there was these, I was on something I saw in the news. Where there was a somebody in a van that kept pressing through and drove through, and they damaged the protesters punched the van and
yeah
kind of
I saw
stuff.
That yeah
and now the protesters are being charged with I forget what it was
vandalism
or something like that and
destruction
responsible for $500 damage to the van and they were arrested for it.
As they should. Why would you punch somebody's van?
Right. Now think about it. Now, if you're going to work, let's say you're going somewhere in your middle of the highway and you're right there in the front, all these people there, are you going to push the line forward your car? Are you just going to say, fuck it, I'm late, I'll sit here and wait till it ends?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if I'd risk driving my car into a group of people who are already volatile and upset.
Like, plus, fuck your car up, right?
Yeah. And not for nothing. I mean, I'm not white in nationality, but my skin is white. So that would probably cause a threat, and they'd want to beat me up or something, or beat my car up.
Right.
And I just got my car, so I'm not trying to get punched.
I know, you got a new car. That sucked. You know, if you had the old one, it'd be fine. You'd probably drive. Would you? If you had the old one, would you drive through?
That's terrible. I'm not even going to talk about driving cars through groups of people.
I was going to say, especially just from a safety aspect, I wouldn't drive.
I'm not
through
saying
a crowd
speeding.
Of
I'm not
no,
saying
I'm
speeding.
I'm talking
through
just
it.
On a too soon, aka Bastille Day in France.
Yeah, I'm not saying driving a semi through. I'm talking about, like, you know, like the one in this one video, the guy just kind of
I know what you mean, just
moving,
inching up, but if
going.
They don't want to move, and if honestly, if you touch a little hair on somebody's body, 1,000 people are going to come on you and say, "Oh, he hit me," and then you're fucking done for. Mm. It's true. Because I saw that happen recently. There was a video online where it was a group of protesters, and the car had fed up with it and actually drove through the people, started hitting some people.
Right.
And when they finally got him out of the car, they fucking annihilated him. He didn't get too far, and unfortunately, a lot of people had to get hurt.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fix any problems. I would wait.
Yeah, I mean, how busy can you be? Like you said, the first thing I would think of, I want somebody. It's bad enough somebody keys your car, but you can imagine now
if I have to go to work or something and my boss is like, "Where were you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I wasn't going to die for this fucking remedial job. Go suck my ass."
Hey, by the way, if anybody does get caught in that, you know, what you're going to do is you take photos so you can verify it. Look, I'm late. Why? Well, a bunch of fucking guys were in the middle of the street.
There's a protest going on. I can't get through. What am I going to do? Run them over?
Text it to them. Here, I'm stuck here. And take, you know, hey, it's a day off. It's a personal day.
True.
Right? It's a personal day.
I work from home.
Yeah, exactly. John has to worry about that. All right. So, you know, so this is interesting. Some of the aspects of this is now that this is occurring, it is, unfortunately, and as John said, you can't say that people are out there, from Black Lives Matter trying to get people to do this. But it's actions and this lack of respect for police, you know, especially even Obama came out when, I mean, I can't help it, but when he spoke at the Dallas Memorial for those soldiers, and you heard George Bush talk, it was a complete different thing. And, you know, like, let's just respect the families and not bring up that, supposedly there's this, again, bringing up this matter that he's bringing up. Like, you're at the funeral of the police, and you're basically saying how, let's bring any address or point out that the police, need this or, this we need to worry about. What the fuck? Let's just respect the people that are here, which was a lot of backlash on Obama on that one.
There has to be I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
There has to be in the eye of the public, a big meeting of the people who represent the up high of the police and then the people who represent the up high of the Black Lives Matter. And publicly, people have to see them coming to some kind of agreement, and that will infect the minds of everyone, just like media. It's the media. If you show them in a big public forum making peace with each other, it will trickle down to everybody, and hopefully stuff will subside and kind of calm down. That's what needs to happen, in my opinion, because the media is the one who is perpetrating all of this and showing people the worst side of the Black Lives Matter and the worst side of the police. It's all the media is so negative. That's all anyone is ever seeing. What we need is a really big positive showing in a giant public forum, in a mass scale that everyone could see at the same time, and that maybe will, bring this thing down.
You should have like a potluck dinner. Like everybody like brings a dish.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I'm dead serious, though. I think if Fox News and all these channels focused on something positive instead of just continuously infecting everybody with all the negative images and videos and all this stuff, and social media isn't doing much to help that either. All I see in my feed, that's what's another thing I said, I don't like to watch all these videos because my whole feed, all I see is videos of this person shot, and cursing at cops and screaming at reporters, and it's just like the negativity is
I'll say this, the reason I came to this conclusion over the weekend, I was watching this and I was actually more perturbed with people that were on the, like, say, against Black Lives Matter, and there's just, and it was like, look, this is fucked up, like I said, after everything I said, everything that's gone on up to this point, I'm like, they have the right, you know, to protest what's happening. The fact that, you know, young lives are getting killed and there seems to be, you know, the cops aren't handling it. Okay, it's fine. Let's do, you know, protest. And like I've always said, in the last two cases, like the one guy, Arlen, what's his name again? Sterling. You know, that's one case. Alton Sterling. And the other guy who got shot in the car. These are two different cases. And right. each of them can have potentially two different outcomes. You know, but let it be investigated. You know, now that it's been seen, it's been investigated. If they're guilty, they'll lose their job. They'll go to jail. And that's due justice. That's what happens. But now that you have, you know, these wolves, lone wolves going out and shooting cops, you know, in the name of this, and they're being, that's what I'm saying, this type of action is causing this hatred, as opposed to, you know, if I want to have a town hall meeting, I don't want to have fucking Obama up there trying to explain shit, because he doesn't know dick when it comes to police and people on the street. He doesn't know what it's like to be, say, the poverty. You know what I mean? There's nothing he's going to fucking say that makes any sense.
He was a community organizer in Chicago.
Yeah, but whatever. But he's not, you know, saying what I'm saying, like being poor and being that. Okay, I don't want to hear what he has to fucking say about it. What I want to hear, like Elgin said, I want, you know, police officers from around the country, police, sergeant, whatever, you know, people on the beat, Black Lives Matter, the people that are part of these communities now, you know, the churches. I want them to get in all, like you're talking about, this potluck dinner. Let them all sit there and have a town meeting. And
but
let's
it has to be
it
has to come from a place of sincerity. It can't just be a show of we need to do this in order to get the people to calm down. It has to fucking
but
come from a
thing.
Real place. It has
you,
to be
you
real.
Think, you think people are going to be able to go there and not just sit there and get on a pulpit and start fucking preaching out as opposed to like working? You know, there's a difference between preaching and trying to come to a conclusion.
Right. Well, that's I don't think it's not the sense of just having a meeting so that we can come to some kind of, you know, agreement. People need to legitimately give a fuck about each other as a human being, and everyone needs to just come together and care about each other.
You think either side is in a position where they'll be able to understand the other side?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you look at what the police chief of Dallas said repeatedly after the shootings is that, you know, he's met or they've met with the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement numerous times. And they've worked together to try and get things you know, moving in the right direction. And the irony of the Dallas situation is Dallas is one of the more progressive police departments where they actually had a lot of community outreach and community relations. So the fact that it happened there was shocking on that level, because as far as police departments go, they're actually one of the better ones. So they, you know, we're taking a group, and this is both groups, both the police and the Black Lives Matter movement, and we're defining them by the you know, few bad actors within them. So you've got some cops who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we're you know, broad brushing the police with that whole thing, and you've got some people that have you know, taken the name of the Black Lives Matter movement to do some horrific acts, and we're broad brushing, you know, that movement.
Well, that's what I'm saying, John. I'm agreeing with you completely. Like, those are the stories that are getting highlighted, and
right.
That's what's being seen, and that's what everybody that's all they have to go by. And there needs to be the opposite of that. We need to be showcasing the positive.
Yeah, but I mean, look, you know, you don't open the newspaper and they tell you how many planes landed safely.
Well, that's the thing. There's nothing in the news. The news is so negative. It all.
Well, but that's what sells. Nobody wants to read good news.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Yeah, that's what the Mormons walk around with, right? Here's the good news. Well, listen, you'd only think there is some hope. By the way, and as we speak, the Republican convention's going on, and one of the things I wanted to talk about today was, you know, we've often talked about in the past gun control. Like, would things be safer if people were walking around like the old West with guns? Like, would you have terrorist acts if people were walking around with AR-15s around their back?
We're gonna find out.
Well, isn't it interesting though? When you look at this now, the Republican, you know, it's an open carry state. There are people walking around. They're basically the Black Panthers said they're going to go and protest. You know, this is, you know, again, I've seen plenty of this about when it comes to Donald Trump. You know, I saw this video on Facebook yesterday where there was young high school kids that just graduated high school, white and black mix of high school kids, very smart kids, where, you know, dealing with these, and they were for Trump. And there was a black guy, older guy, that was sitting there talking to the kid, like, what the fuck are you, you know, like, what are you doing? And the guy's like, look, when have you ever heard Trump say anything about black people? You know, when has he ever been racist about, oh, no, he said he's going to send all the Mexicans back. The kid's like, no, he didn't. He said he was going to send the illegal immigrants back. And he said, you know what I mean? So, you know, and then the guy's like, Trump's wife is illegal. No, she's not. She's fucking, just because she has an accent doesn't mean, you know, and it's just the ignorance that, you know, of this. Look, again, comments were made about the Mexicans. Okay, Mexicans should be, you know, but when it came down to it, he never said anything about black people. So this whole racist thing is ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but hold on. But just because he doesn't say something about one race, but if he disparages others, that doesn't give you a free pass. If I say I fucking hate the Jews, but I love black people, does that make me a racist?
You're anti-Semite. You're anti-Semite, aren't you? Isn't that specific to not hate lighting Jewish people?
Okay, so then Trump is anti-Mexican. Whatever. And he's anti-Muslim.
Right.
Is that fair?
I would definitely say that than just labeling the big fucking racist thing on it, because he's got there's reasons.
how many races does he have to hate before we can call
him?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He does. You're saying now he hates Mexicans. He hates illegal Mexicans.
He called them rapists and murderers.
Right. And he mentioned that a lot of them that were coming in, and there has been documentation that a lot of them have called. But that's, you know, again, I'm not standing by the statement either, John. I'm just saying that to label somebody a racist, that means words have to be said and actions. You know, anybody can say what they want. If that, and I told you before, 95% of our populace is racist at one particular level. You know what I mean? Because you're your own race. You know what I mean? You have your own culture. You're going to have your own favoritism. You have your own things. You're going to have things you don't like. And, you know, but if words are one thing, actions are another. So, you know, so it's just funny how, you know, as it said, you know,
he said that Mexican judge, the judge of Mexican heritage, couldn't do his job properly because he was Mexican.
Right.
Of Mexican heritage.
Well,
that's the definition of racism.
When it came to him, because of this stigma that he's racist, that since he is Mexican, it does cloud the issue a little bit. That, you know, there's, again, legally I may not agree with that either, but I'm saying there it's something that you could point out. Again, it's, I don't take it as racist. He's talking about, again, himself, his own case, you know, whether if he was talking about Polish people and the guy was Polish, he's going to say, look, his nationality may be affecting his judgment because of where it leads me if I had something in Poland. So it's not. And when it comes to Muslims, he was talking about terrorists, and he's talking about that. So everybody, again, a broad slate. So
he's going to ban all Muslims.
No, he's going to ban he was going to send temporarily banning Muslims from entering this company, i.e. the refugees that were coming in unvetted.
No, he said all Muslims.
Right. Temporary, all Muslims.
Okay, but that's
and then racist. he went back, right? I think it's a national, again, I don't take it at that. I take it as a risk, and that even though it looks racist from the back end, at the same time, we have a national security issue. The world has a national issue. Germany is suffering right now.
So should we have internment camps for Mexicans?
No, you
should. What we did for Japanese Americans.
You got what you got. All the black people because of what just happened with those cops the last couple of weeks.
Wow, John, we're going to get stretching that a little far now to try to make a point.
Am I?
Well, yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Because some Muslims are causing problems.
Well, this is, you know, on a global aspect. You know, right now, what's happening in this country is here. So I'm talking on a global aspect. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, again, there's if you ask why did England move out of the euro, all because of this immigration. It all has to do with England does not want to be turned into something else. They didn't like what's happening in their own country. France has already suffered. Look what they've already been through because of this eurozone where you can just come in any way you want, and there's no control of who's coming in the country. So to sit there and say that that's not an issue on a global aspect, John, then you're just being ridiculous all to categorize one person. You know, the fact that somebody sees this happening on a global aspect and then tries to think of ways to either fix, do something about it, as silly or foolish as it may be, I'm not going to label it as racist. I'm going to label it as just somebody who's saying, look, we got to figure something out. And are there better ways? Of course there are better ways. Better ways to say it. But when I hear him say that, I have a concern too. I don't want fucking 50,000 Syrian refugees coming into this country. I'm not happy with that at the moment, based on what I'm seeing. One little thing, you know.
How many Syrians have been involved in these attacks?
Okay, again, John. No. Like we have stats on their paper. Their paperwork doesn't even. They don't even have fucking passports. So how do you fucking know who's in and who's not, John?
So your question cannot be validated.
Your question doesn't have an answer, and you know it doesn't have an answer.
No, because
and
I, you're just I know asking what's going it, on, Dougie. Because I actually read about this stuff and I learn
John,
about
see,
it.
See, here's the thing, Elgin. Here's the thing, John. Elgin doesn't think Elgin. John doesn't think anybody reads. He thinks he's the only guy that sits home all day and fucking reads.
No, John, it shows me that you don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, I do know what I'm talking about. You read something, one way, and other people are going to interpret it another. All I'm saying to you is that there is an understanding there. whether I agree or not, there's understanding. I'm not going to label somebody a fucking racist because they say something. I'm going to look at what they're actually doing on an area of potential national security. Now, you can't say that, who knows how many of these Syrian refugees. But I have read countless reports of, what was the report that just came out last week, that on New Year's Eve, that the French government, I can't remember who is the government now, that hid the stats that there were over 1,000 rapes that had to do with the migrants that have come in through the Syrian refugee, but they didn't post it because they didn't want to draw attention to the Euro concern. So, you read everything, John. You would think you'd fucking came across that.
You also read conspiracy theories.
No, it was part of the Huffington Post. It was part of the Washington Post. It was part of the New York Times, John. So you're going to question those as not
I have a New York Times subscription. Okay. I read it every day.
Go back a few weeks and read that story. And you know, so the bottom line is there is a concern with that. There is a concern with, you know, illegals coming. So you think it's okay for Mexicans to come in illegally across the border. Is that okay? No, right? I mean, should I ask stupid questions like you ask to draw me to a conclusion? Is it okay for illegal?
Are you talking about the Syrian refugee, the raping of the Idaho girl? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm not talking about that one little incident because I'm not going to bring up one little story.
I just Googled refugee rape report and
1,000. You said there was over on New Year's Eve. There was over 1,000 cases of it that weren't reported and that were just held away from the press. So look up that on your time on the break, and then you let me know when you get to that.
Right now.
Yeah. So, you know. So you can't, but stay tuned here, John. You're saying that it's not illegal immigration is not good, right, John? I mean, we can agree on that, right? It's not good for people to enter this country illegally, right?
Correct.
All right. So if people who are illegal, if they're getting a pass, like thank God, the one thing that Obama tried to do, he tried to get people that passed that Congress voted out, right? They said, no, this isn't going to happen. So that was a good thing, thank God, that they were just going to give everybody a pass. Oh, you're here. Don't worry about it. We'll let you.
It was a path to citizenship. It wasn't a pass.
Right.
But anyway. But again.
No, John, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? From a little word here or there, John, did that not basically happen that President Obama tried to keep people here where they were going to let them here?
We have 11 million people that are working in this country illegally.
Right.
So we can't just deport them. Right. We can't just round them all.
That's
up
not going to happen.
Out.
We know that's not going to happen. Right.
So we need to figure out a way to deal with this problem.
Right.
And what President Obama was trying to do was saying, OK, if you are in this country illegally and you want to be part of these of our society and become a citizen, these are the things that we're going to ask you to do that. It's not just, you know what, we can't figure out a solution to this problem. So everybody's a citizen now. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, it was a little more easily than that. It wasn't that simple. But the bottom line now is that we still want to label them as illegal. They're illegal. That's it. And then the process will handle it because that's the way the process is going to be. There are some that are going to end up doing their process and not get shipped out, and there are ones that will. That's just the way it naturally has been happening all these times anyway. So that's the way it goes, you know. And that's why it didn't pass because there was loopholes in it that were not going to be accepted, John. And so that they're going to go back to the normal way of doing it, case by case. The bottom line is they're concerned about illegal immigration coming to this country, and of course the national threat. From the Syrian refugees, where it's been proven that, you know, there are going to be a few bad ones slipping through that fucking way, getting into this country that way. And again, on the bigger picture, I don't know if I'm that concerned about it anyway, because we already got fuck nuts here that are born in America that want to fucking follow this ISIS trend anyway. So whether the whole thing is stupid anyway to be concentrating, I'm going to be more like that as a person who's a realist and say, look, there's other things we need to be concentrating on besides who's coming in. We need to worry about the people that are already here. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and we're independent. We're broadcasting on our own. Isn't that great?
True. We cut off our ween.
That's right. And you know what? We're going to take a little break. We'll have some sort of commercial going on, and then we'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Jose Sardui, and you are listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Or as my dad would say, this is Jose Sardui, and you listening to the Wake Up with Dougie Late show. He wake up late. Is he lazy? I don't understand. Okay, bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you have a brand new wedding world? Oh, mother, father, gonna take you down the house tonight. Gonna show her my world. Oh, father.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm here with Mr. Elgin David.
What's up, everybody? Good morning.
And John Levine on the Skype line.
John Levine on the Skype line.
There you go. Anyway, welcome back to the show. And remember, we are, this is like a pirate pod. This is like a pirate
cat. It's a pirate podcast.
Pirate podcast. You know, the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Now we're on our own. No networks on the show. And you know what? I'm thinking we were asked by the Misfits, Radio Misfits, where Bob Levy's show was on. And yeah. Bob has announced to me that he's done with radio.
Really?
He's not doing a show anymore.
Wow.
Just got tired of it, all the organization of it, which I can relate to. You know, it's like it gets to be a pain in the
ass. It's a lot to do. Yeah, it's a commitment, man.
You know, but, you know, and I started thinking, I'm like, it's good practice. You know, it's good to work on this. It's just, you get it's a skill. You know what I mean? And whenever I go on the road, if sometimes these places say, hey, we're going to have a radio spot, we want you to do radio in the morning, it's, you could tell there's a little bit of a difference, some of these guys, because sometimes the comics go in there like just doing jokes.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck, you know? And, you know, I did one gig one time, and the guy's like, oh, man, that was a fresh change, because these are people coming here to do bits.
Right.
And we're just talking, you know, we're just, you know, like...
Like, they give them little, like, setups.
Right.
And then they finish them.
Exactly.
So it seems
and
extemporaneous, it's but it's all their bits, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, ask me this, and I'll do this.
Right.
Stupid.
Tell me to do this voice, or whatever, like...
That's right. Hey, by the way, don't forget some of the shows this week. On Wednesday, our Wise Guys comedy show. I will be the host, as well as our headliner, Steve Marshall, is back in town, going for 5 consecutive standing ovations in a row.
Wow.
So every time Steve's there, that's tonight, Wednesday night in Coral Springs, Florida, at Tavolino's. I'll be your host. We have special guests, actually from the Jacksonville area, Johnny Mack, or I should say Johnny MC, or John MC, McClellan. John McClellan and Maya Maynard, a girl here from South Florida comedy scene.
Oh, yeah.
May
Duran.
Yeah, May Duran.
Oh, yeah, May Duran.
We got a little guest spot there. And I was talking to Elgin a little bit because some people already asked me about how things went last week at Tavolino.
Yeah, I know you had J.B. Ball as right. The headliner.
Who's, J.B. Crush.
He's hilarious. Florida's funniest.
He did. You know, it was. We had an experiment because we all know the challenge. At Tavolino's is I need features.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got right now you guys, John Levine, Elgin are MCs.
Yeah.
You guys are basically people that are given MC spots.
Yeah, and not for nothing. You do a lot for the locals here in South Florida getting them feature work at Tavolino's too.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
I don't want to tell anybody that I don't want them to work.
Right.
All right. I'm gonna cover something else with this as well. So Manny Garavito's asked me a lot, I want a feature. And my personal opinion was I didn't think he was ready because I've never seen him do more than 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
It's nothing personal, right? Think about it. You got to use your judgment.
Right.
Right? You got to use judgment. And I didn't, So I said, okay, this is an opportunity to co-feature. Like, you know, like John, you mentioned, like John was at the Black Box Theater in Fort Pierce with Casey and Spaz Comedy.
That's a cool room.
It's a great room.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, Casey has a similar challenge. You know, you want to, so he even met, John did great. So up there, so he talked about co-featuring. Now, you didn't take that as a slight. You didn't take that as a negative thing, did you, John?
No, I took it as an opportunity.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. And it's an opportunity to do well. It's an opportunity that you can do well, you can fuck up.
Yeah.
I'll say that the test this past, and I got people comment ask me on Facebook. They're like, what did you mean it was a challenging show? Well, you know, we thought, you know, we had Nico Prada, which I love the guy. He's a very funny kid. Great jokes. You know what I mean? But I felt bad because this was a night at Tavolino's where it was a lot of old people.
Mm.
For the most part, Tavolino's could be 50-50.
True story.
You know, it could be, but it was majority older. And I'm like, oh, this isn't, you know, because Manny Garavito's younger and he's got younger, he's more edgy, you know, and that kind of thing. And then, of course, so even when I went out there, I was like, oh, this crowd's like weird. You know what I mean? It's like they're not. You know, and in my own personal criticism, if I just came out and did my bit, just did my act, It probably would have been better, but I was trying to like get the crowd going. I was just trying. I didn't want to do any material. I just wanted to get the crowd going. And you know, it just didn't work. Yeah, I mean, again,
who went first, Manny or Nico?
I had Manny go first.
Okay,
and only because I figured Manny'd be a little dirtier, maybe this and that. Then I would, you know, a little more edgy. Then Nico would come out, you know, and just tell, you know, do it. But I mean, Manny didn't do very well, and he was gonna send a feed. You know, he does a Miami comedy
right,
feed,
the live feed,
and
yeah.
Live feed. I'm glad we didn't do that, and I'm sure those guys are glad, but. And, you know, and I felt bad for Nico because you could tell Nico was a little nervous at first. It was because, you know, older people and this and that. And then he watched Manny's, you know, battle out there.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, you know, it's hard when the person before you doesn't really set you up for success.
Right.
It's hard to come back from that.
You get, and of course, and, you know, again, Nico's a young guy. He's not, you know.
Yeah.
He's been on the road a bit. They had
Degenerate Tour. Yeah. Him and
now
Damon
Figler. You get a little concerned because their tours are in bars. You know, and they're more of a youngie, a young, edgier, you know, wouldn't you think so, John? Like, what would you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a specific, like, brand of comedy.
Absolutely.
And everyone that's in that show or those shows, they all perform in a similar vein. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's
a particular, you know, demographic. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They're catering to a particular audience.
Right. And so, you know, so with that said, now, I don't mind. Again, everybody has a bad night here and there, okay? And that's not a problem. But the thing I do not like is when somebody turns on the audience.
Mm.
And that happened. Nico didn't, you know, I got a little upset with Manny. I didn't tell him anything, but he turned on the audience and it got ugly. Ed was very upset.
Wow.
And, you know, you don't, if
it takes a lot to get Ed mad, man.
Yeah, you
he's
don't.
He's such a cool dude.
You don't sit there and go, look, you're all fucking going to die and you're all going to hell, see you in hell, you fucking old fuck. I mean,
wait, he said you're all going to die?
Yeah, you're all, yeah, whatever. Listen, I didn't want to say anything, and I just felt bad, you know what I mean? What are you going to do? But here's an opportunity. It's not my fault. I mean, I get, like you said, I felt bad. I'm like, I felt bad to Ed. I apologized to him like eight times, and he's like, what are you going to do, you know?
It bugs me, like, when I see a comedian have a, you know, struggling through their set, and at the very end of their set, when they say something like, well, you guys have been here. Or you know what I mean? Like, it totally takes away from, dude, just barrel through it. Thank you for the time. Appreciate the opportunity. And peace out. You know? You'll get them next time. Whatever. We're all going to bomb at some point. It can't all be fucking, you know. What does John Hines said? It can't be all gold because it'll bring down the value or something. Like,
right.
Damn. So he turned on the crowd. That's sad.
Yeah. It was just like, and again, I felt bad. And then, you know, Ed said to me, he's like, look, next time we do this experiment.
Called it an experiment.
Well, just do it. I said, you know, the experiment of trying to bring,
right,
you know,
right.
And I go, just have one person, you know, don't do two co-features, do a feature, a short feature, you know, like, somebody just pay somebody like a guest spot, like an extended guest spot.
And like give somebody more time to host a headliner.
Yeah. And exactly. Or the show doesn't have to be an hour and a half. The show could be a little over an hour.
Okay.
You know, the shorter show and gets done before 10, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, and again, and like Nico, I'll tell you, Nico was nervous, but he stuck to it.
Yeah.
You know, he got off a little bit. I said, don't, you know, because one of the things I'm going to talk to Manny about is like, don't, if you're not doing well with the crowd, the last thing you want to do is really talk to them.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I don't, you know, as a comedy note, like if I'm known as, the audience isn't liking me, I don't think I'm going to get into a conversation with them. You know what I mean? I think that escalated things worse, and it didn't go anywhere. So I said, Nico, just do your stuff, man. Your stuff's funny, and just do it. Just don't worry about it. And he kind of went through a set, and, you know, again, had a hard set, but he,
right?
You know, at least kept it. You know what I mean?
Like me personally, like when I'm hearing the story about what Manny did, just his actions in that one moment, it could really have a lasting effect on your future bookings and your future gigs. Like, for me personally, I just did a show on Friday, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm just telling this because this is the true story. I opened for Eric Stone Street from Modern Family.
The guy who's gay, right?
Yeah, he plays a gay character.
He's a chubby gay guy.
Cameron, yeah. It was for a group of like 600 people, all the big high rollers, the X-Card members of the Hard Rock Casino. And these people, I mean, nothing against wrong with these people, but they've seen everything, they've heard everything, they have millions and gazillions of dollars, so they didn't pay to get into the show, they're not invested in the show, they don't care, they're there to gamble for the weekend and win free shit, they're giving away a Porsche Cayenne, and somebody won $20,000, and like I gave away $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, you know, $15,000, whatever, to people in the audience after my set, but the point of my story is I had to do a 20-minute set, open for him, and the crowd really wasn't into it. Me or Eric Stone Street, even halfway through his thing, which he doesn't even do stand-up. He does questions and answers. He's told them, he's like, are you guys going to listen? Like, because they were talking like the whole time, even through my whole 20-minute set.
Wow.
Afterwards, even Eric Stone Street told me, he's like, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do what you do. You did a great job. But for me, what I'm trying to tell you, it's more important to just barrel through it, do your set, because the people at the Hard Rock said I did a great job. The guy who booked me said I did a great job. I had a wonderful set. And that's who really matters at the end of the day, is the people who are going to be booking you. They know it's a tough crowd. They understand that, but they want to see your talent, because then that opens up for future possibilities and future bookings. When you do something like turn on the crowd, it shows that you're not a professional, in my opinion.
Right.
And it hinders your future bookings. And I think that it's a amateur move.
Well, yeah.
No, I agree with that.
It definitely does. I mean, that's what happened with Kevin Perry. When I was working him, I had him at the Meatball Room. He turned on the crowd. And I'm like, you don't do that. Because, A, it makes me look like a fucking idiot. I hired you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I felt so bad to Ed that night. I go, I'm sorry this happened. I'm like, he's not going to get mad. What the fuck? You're never going to have another. We're not doing any more shows here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's a possibility, you know. And thank goodness that night that only one couple walked out. And then because J.B. Ball came out there and it was just like night and fucking day.
Wow.
I mean, he came out and just crushed. It was like the people were like, wow. You know, so he was like the reliever, like in a pit, like in a baseball game. I mean, we were down, we were fucking down 8-0. And he came out and relieved and got the, and our team came back and scored. He did a great job. And people who don't know Manny Garvey, I know Manny. Manny's the kind of guy, first of all, I like the guy. I wouldn't have given him a spot if I didn't like the
Me
guy.
True. I have nothing against Manny. I'm not trying to doubt.
Good dude. He's works hard. He's always busting his ass. But, at the same time, he's the guy that always makes comments about my weight. I'm going to die. Doug, you need to do this. He's always like, so since you're going to be that upfront and forward, you're going to be that. John, again, help me with this. What's a good personality style like that when somebody's.
It's very blunt.
Brash or they're.
Abrasive,
douchey.
Yeah, okay. I was looking for something else, but more or less like they're douchey, so they should expect that. And I felt bad. I was going to say something after the show, but there was part of me that said I don't even want to bother.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's sometimes you want to say something because you think it's going to help, but there's sometimes you say it doesn't matter what I say.
You already know how you feel about him, and you already know if you're going to book him or not, so it doesn't really matter.
It didn't make a difference.
Yeah. Don't kick them all down.
No, I'm not gonna. I feel bad, and like I said, it's a shitty situation.
But it could have been an opportunity for you to just pull them aside and just be like, "Hey, man, this is how I would have handled the situation. Maybe you should consider that in the future because X, Y, and Z, and maybe spell it out for him."
Yeah, I hear
it. It could have been like you could have mentored him a little bit.
I hear you, but
could have been a teaching moment.
Yeah, I think so. But
He would have put it on MiamiComedy.com and put his name on it.
I don't know, but he would have been more. I think it would have been like a smart ass, like, "Well, Dougie, what do you know?" It's like,
okay, you just didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I just thought I was going to get.
I get you.
Who am I to say anything at this point? You know what I mean? Like you said, and part of me is I'm getting more and more like that. I'm just going to make a decision. Like, I'll give you an example. I spoke about this the other day. There's a comedy club that I've been working that's under new ownership now that's not calling me. The owner wanted to work at Tavolino's. They wanted to feature for me. And I was questionable because I never really, not a working guy, not really a working comic in a sense.
Right.
So I sent the video to Ed. Ed gave it a thumbs down. He didn't think it was good. So I told the guy, hey, man, you didn't get a thumbs up. Maybe in a few months, get a new one, send it in, or come in one day when you can. Right? This is the way it was. So I've had a few people comment, and it's like that. Like the guy's just talking shit about me. He's basically saying it to a lot of people, because my name's coming up, and they're like, "Oh, Dougie didn't feature me," So,
John, if you don't get booked at a place, are you going to go out of your way to talk shit about the booker, or are you going to just work and focus on being better so that you will get booked?
No, I work and focus on being better. I don't talk shit about anybody because, frankly, I don't want to deal with any
of
that crap.
I know. I'm just asking your opinion.
Yeah. I know. I don't stop asking either. Do you know what I mean? I send out avails like every 3 weeks, and not one person that I've sent them out to has even sort of responded that they even got them. But I still send them out. So it's like I'm just going to keep doing it until eventually they're like, "Okay, just fucking stop sending people."
Right, you're the Andy Dufresne of sending avails. Like, you're not going to stop until they send you that fucking book money so you can make the library.
Look behind the poster.
Well, and here's the thing. You have to, and you never, two things. One thing I learned about that for any comics doing that, you got to keep doing it because eventually something's going to, I can't, for a year and a half, I sent avails to Bonkers after I showcased for Joe Sanfilippo. I thought, this is never going to happen. And all of a sudden, one day, I got an email back like, oh, can you do July, you know, whatever. Like, oh, you know what I mean? So, I've known other comics that'll email the booker and say, what the fuck, you know, I've seen other people in your work your room and I'm better than them. And there's been Joel Pace from Comedy Zone forwarded one time an email he got from somebody that was basically like that, like, you know, you guys, I'm fucking funnier than 90%, you know, blah blah blah. And whether you're right or wrong, it's a wrong move.
That's not a way to get fucking booked.
No. Yeah, you're never going to get booked. Yeah.
I'm better than everybody.
By the way, shout out to Comedy Zone in Jacksonville. I had a phenomenal weekend this weekend there. That is an A room. It's a fantastic room. Great. And I got to work with Carmen Lynch, very funny lady. And they had this meeting, I guess it was like on Saturday, had like a workshop, a comedy workshop, right? And you would not believe this. I wish I took a photo of this guy. But there's a new guy. He's a piano guy. Did dueling. He tried to get a job as a piano guy, and he was trying to do comedy. He's trying to learn comedy, so he's at the one show on Friday night, and he wants to buy my shirt, and he's like, oh, can you give it to me for 10 instead of 20? I'm like, what the fuck, dude? What are you talking about? And he wouldn't. And then I felt bad. One of the waitresses came over and said, oh, can I have a shirt? And like, how much? I go, I'll give it to you for 10. You know, she works for the club. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, I'll just give it to you for 10. And then he's standing there like, oh, you know, he's looking at me like, you fucking, all right, give, you know what? And then, you know, whatever. So, but this guy looks and acts a lot like, he is like a beefier, heavier, stockier version than Peter Leonard.
Wow.
He looks like him. He's got glasses. He's got hair like that. I swear to God, he was like his fat, chubbier doppelganger.
Did you take a picture?
That's what I'm saying. I wish I did. And I was showing them Peter's picture. I'm like, this is his like doppelganger. And so it's so funny. We're at this. It was really nice because they asked the owner, Fred, of the club, asked me and Carmen to, you know, go up and talk a little bit, you know, how we got started, any questions. That was great. You give advice. This guy goes up, and then the comics go up and do like their 5 minutes. So this guy's up there, and then the owner goes, okay, that's good. We're good. Next, you know, he's like, okay, move on. He's like, no, I got another joke. No, I want to do, no, hold on a second. And I'm like, and I look at...
Get the hook.
Pat, the guy who was hosting, Patrick, and Carmen were sitting next to him. They were at this table where the owner was. And I go, well, that's one way to never get work. You know what I mean? The owner is telling you to get the fuck off stage. And you go, no, I'm going to do another joke. What, you know, what the fuck? Are you retarded? So, you know, I just, and again, so getting back to this thing about, so I sent the club owner an email. I know this guy. I've known him for a while. You know what I mean? We've been friends. You know what I mean? And I said, look, man, I said, I just, you know, I can't help it. A few people already mentioned to me, you know, that you mentioned that I didn't feature you here and, you know, you brought it up. And if this has anything to do why you're not working me at your club, this is your decision. I completely respect it. But I kind of, you know, do you really think that's fair? I mean, I told him, I said, you know, I'm a working comic. I've been working at that club for several years before you took it over. And now, you know, if that's the way you feel about it, what am I going to do? But do you really think that's fair? You know what I mean? After all the years I put in to get into the club, that you're going to get mad at me when I was honest to you. And I, you know, I was trying to, you know, I was just being truthful with you. You know, why would you be like this? So bad move to send that kind of email.
Well, it wasn't like the email that we were just speaking about, like somebody being like, yeah, I'm the best and this and that. No, you were coming from a place of honesty and you just wanted to ask him like legitimately, not like what's your problem, but yeah, what's your problem? Like, or do we even have a problem? If not, cool. If you're not, I think you're just trying to find some answers, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And you did it in a classy way. It's not like you were like, hey, fuck boy, you were talking shit about me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And did he respond?
No. I think he's just getting in from out of town or something, too. So, what do you think, John?
No, I think that's perfectly fair. I mean, it's like Elgin said, you just wanted answers.
Yeah. You know, we're peers. We're people, you know, we're not like, you know, it's like we don't know each other at all. You know, we do know each other. You know, this guy's had me headline some of his rooms he's done, you know, so.
Yeah.
And it was just like, to me, because I want to know. Like you said, I just want an answer. Because if it's not, if the guy's not going to use me, then I won't send any more shit to him. You know,
and on top
of
that, like you said, people have been mentioning it. So you're just trying to clear up some speculation that.
Yeah. I mean, if one person said something to me, I'm not going to say that because then I'm going to go back and that person, why'd you tell Doug, you know. So, but when three or four people all kind of make the same comment to me, Like, because one guy's like, hey, you work laughing? I'm like, yeah, I have, you know, and this and that. And they're like, oh, well, you know, yeah, because I said, yeah. Because I even said it. That's part of my email. I said, because I brought it up to people. I think this may be a reason, you know, why the guy's not, you know, I couldn't think, oh, I'm not getting any work. So any rate, it's said, it's out there. But sometimes you got to speak your mind, but be professional about it.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the Republican
convention.
I think this is going to be an interesting, very interesting situation in a carry. People are carrying guns. You got Black Panther members there. You got White Lives, Trump dumpers. You've got motorcycle gangs that are there to defend the police. They, you know, there's thousands, if not more than that, that are going to be there from motorcycle guys, you know, and former military veterans that are motorcycle guys. You know, this may be a point to say whether if everybody's carrying a gun, like, do you think any ISIS attacks going to occur at the Republican National Convention?
I mean, I can't say that it can't happen.
Right.
Yeah, know? But I'll be honest with you.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and you know, ISIS is they're attacking Europe because it's a lot easier to pull off an attack in Europe than it is in the United States.
And there's a lot more of those refugees there,
and especially by the way. Especially for something like the Republican National, you know, Convention, which is, I mean, they've got that place on fucking lockdown. So, you know, for them to even say, oh, we're going to try and do something, I don't even think that they would even attempt it.
Yeah, it's not really a soft target, is it?
Right. I mean, like, you had the Euro soccer match, you know,
right,
that just happened in France.
They were scared, right, about that, too. They were worried.
Right. Well, they were worried that, okay, maybe there's going to be but there wasn't. They had that thing locked down. But then the week after it ended, that guy did that thing with the truck in Nice, because it's a lot easier to do that than it is hitting such a hardened target.
And did they catch the guy who did that?
You killed him. He's dead.
He's dead. They shot him in the truck.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of the information about him before, but I was reading an article about him.
But I mean, was he an ISIS guy?
No, he was.
Or just some fucking
from
idiot.
Tunisia, originally Tunisia.
Yeah, he's Tunisian, and they just said he's a real piece of shit. Like, he beat his wife. And,
yeah, nobody and, liked him. He's an angry fuck.
But like, nobody knows why he did it.
Well, no, he sympathized with it.
Yeah, but the officials said they can't find any link between him and ISIS. Like, he didn't even go on website.
So it was just some random act of fucking let me drive a truck to some people.
Yeah. Again,
he's a crazy person.
And they did say, though, that when they searched his cell phone, that he was bisexual, that he went on several hookup sites where he met women and men.
Wow.
Do you think this is just a way that, you know, that they always want to, like, smirk, like, how would you say?
Smear.
Smear. I was thinking of the smirk. I'm thinking of another word, too. I was putting two words together.
Smurfs.
A smirch.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. But anyway, they're trying to smear this guy's. You know, his character,
right?
You know, look, the Muslims or the terrorists are going to say, oh, this guy, you know, the guy was gay. You know, these are your soldiers, a guy who's, you know.
Well, that's what happened with the Orlando thing. I mean, you know, the Orlando shooting happened, and then before that was even found that, you know, it already even came out that he had any ties or was an inspired act. Like, ISIS came out and said, this is our soldiers, you know, done this and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden it started coming out that he would frequent that club, and they were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like, yeah.
He was sucking dick.
We take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not with us.
They actually said that they released part of the autopsy report that said he'd been on steroids for a long time. Like, he's abused steroids for years, which they say could have led to a lot of his aggression and anger.
The guy in Nice?
No.
The guy.
Yeah. Orlando.
Oh yeah.
Orlando.
Yeah. Why not? And the guy who drove the truck in Nice, if you see a photo of him, he was like a big guy. He wasn't like a thin little frail. You know, he was a big guy and.
And all the weapons in the truck were fake. Like, all he had, like, fake grenades. He had fake dynamite.
How fucking, like, you, all right, when you think about that, the only reason you would do that is that is just to scare. Like,
he's trying to start something. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you know, who would the fuck would get? Okay, I don't have any real guns, so I'm going to get all these fake ones so that if I get out of the truck, like, it's almost like his plan was to drive the truck and then hopefully get out of the truck and, you know, probably walk out, you know. But someone, I don't know if it was verified or not, but he was shooting a gun from the truck at people too.
Yeah, he had a gun, but he had they thought he had explosives and all this kind of stuff like in the truck. He had, like, there was like grenades and shit in there that they found, but it was all fake.
Yeah.
Like all the explosives and stuff were fake.
So so listen, I gotta say this when it comes to this stuff. When you're out there in these public, like my wife now, she's gonna be going to France, you know, on Thanksgiving week. You know, she tells me her sister, her mom, they're all going there for a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever, a week or something like that, 10 days. I'm like, oh, this is crazy, you know.
But how could you ever really be anywhere and know that anything can't happen? I mean, and that's the thing. That's a sad thing that we have to be, constantly living in fear and looking over our shoulder all the time? Or should we just enjoy it? Because honestly, you can die at any moment, at any time.
Yeah, you can. But
and there's been crazy people since forever.
Yeah, but listen, if you're going to go to, like I told her, if you're going to be going to France, don't be doing all of these touristy things. Go places, you know, like, especially John would know, when you go to another country. You know, you don't have to do like, oh, I'm going to do all the touristy thing. I'm going to go to
See, that's what bothers me about it and about all the negativity I see and everywhere. It's just like, it's like scaring people into living this sheltered life where, you know what I mean? I understand, like, be careful, be wary, don't talk to strangers, look both ways before you cross the street. I get all that. But it's like, also, like, we're seeing so much of it all the time and it's so in everyone's face. People are, like, living in fear. And
yeah.
And it's sad because we should just be experiencing life and loving each other and just like because you never know tomorrow isn't promised, you know what I mean? And that's the saddest thing.
That fear is fairly irrational. You know, the likelihood of you dying in some type of terrorist incident is so low.
Right.
It's like worrying about being in a plane crash.
But again, it's like the scare tactics or I don't know what the term
is. It's terrorism. That's what terrorism is. It causes terror. And it's not that it actually causes a large loss of life.
No, I agree.
Or large destruction. Its goal is to insert fear into and disrupt a society's normal flow.
And so, what I'm saying is, it's just the knowledge and the awareness of terrorism is so much more. On a broader scale, but just because of, like I said, social media, technology is at such an all-time high. Surveillance is everywhere. That like. Everyone is just living in this mass state of fear and shock, and I think it's affecting everybody. And that's why we have all these things happening, and the Black Lives Matter, and all this craziness, and the groups. It's just because it's so. It's not that it hasn't been happening for such a long time, but it's just everyone is just more aware of it.
More and more people are exposed to it.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying don't go do things, but I'm just saying that, you know, for example. I watched one of the reports that were on the news. It was telling like guys like, look, if you're going to be there, you know, don't be out in the middle. You know, try to be somewhere. You know, you got to be a little more because if it does happen, you listen. Everybody wants to have fun, but you know, you can't say, oh, it was great. I got run over by a fucking truck because I was having fun. You know, you still want to be a little, you know. A little cautious. You want to, you know what I mean?
I mean, look, by that rationale, though, the most people that ever died in a terrorist incident happened on September 11th in New York City. So would you have that same fear of your wife going to New York?
I would tell you, even when I go to New York, I'm always conscious of it. You know, when I'm in the city or I'm in the subway, you know what I mean? I'm always a little more, I'm not going to go to New York. I'm not going to get on a subway. I'm going to live, but while I'm going through it, I'm also going to be... You know, I'm also going to be a little more cautious and a little more, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you're vigilant. Everybody's going to be vigilant. I mean, that's what it is. You have to be aware of your surroundings.
Be a little more vigilant. Watch around and just, you know.
But it's impossible to be immune to it. So you can't live in that fear that, you know, I can't do these.
Well, you
things.
Definitely shouldn't be fearful of it. You got to live, and you know, everybody's got to keep moving on. I think as a society, we are right. We've had so many things now. You know, that are coming up, especially in the last year, that, you know, you would hope, you know, is the travel industry suffering? Yes. Is there, you know, travel companies, the stocks are falling a little bit, you know, the cruise lines obviously weren't recently. I don't know. You would think it was. So, but there is some fallback on it there, you know, but nevertheless, just be a little cautious. A couple things I want to talk about before we take a break. The attempted coup in Turkey. You know, it's not enough that you see cops being shot in our country, and all of a sudden you turn on the news again. You know, the country of Turkey is basically just went through an attempted coup.
An Esther coup?
No, not Esther coup.
No, what's an attempted coup?
Esther coup went to Turkey. Is that what I read?
No.
The military, I believe, from what I've read, the leader of the Air Force is actually at this point the one they thought was the ringleader. Of it, and it failed, but what is it, John, about 6,000 people are in jail
Something like that, 6 or 8,000. They're rounding up basically anybody that had anything to do with
potential dissidents, like people that, you know.
But what they try to do?
They try to take over the country. They try to overthrow the country
from the inside.
The military try to get on this. You know, they try to go into the street. They went to they tried to take over like the press, like, you know, and the TV stations.
This was Turkey's sixth coup.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
So I mean, yeah, that country. There, somebody's always overthrowing somebody else.
They've been through a few,
but they were unsuccessful.
Yeah, and listen, Turkey is the most war ravaged country in the world. When you say, like, even during the Dark Ages, Middle Ages, people would come from Europe through Turkey. They would rape and pillage. It's been the most rape and pillage country in history. Would you agree there, Mr. Learning with Levine?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know Turkish history that well.
You never read old history, world history? Reading.
I was in school, but that was 20 years ago.
Oh, you know, so you don't retain a lot of things you read? Anyway, so it was, because the Germanians, it would come through, and the Romans would come. I mean, it was like a bridge to Europe and back and forth. So it's been a war-ravaged country, to say the least. And where what happens from here is always interesting. People always worry about Pakistan, you know, because Pakistan's just one step away, if not already have overthrown. A lot of people think the Pakistani government's being controlled a little bit by Al-Qaeda, you know, and some of the factions there. And they got a nuclear weapon. So
oh, wow.
That's a matter of fact. Was it one? No, they've got nuclear capability.
They have a nuclear weapon. Oh, they only have one.
When was this, John? Was it last summer that there was something going on there too in Pakistan where I think maybe it was Al Qaeda or somebody took over one of their bases or attacked one of their bases, and it was really scary. He's like, okay, if Al fucking Qaeda gets a hold of nuclear weapons.
The problem. I mean, that's the problem with, you know, when you've got India's got nuclear weapons, and then because India and Pakistan hate each other, so Pakistan, you know, I mean, they had an arms race. So basically, the two of them are weaponized, and Pakistan is fucking completely unstable because you know they're constantly fighting with the Kurds, and you've got the Kashmir region and all that kind of shit that's always a problem. So. And the bottom line is it's not like that, you know, they are our ally, but it's not like they're not too unsympathetic to
Your friend.
Osama bin Laden was living there. So,
right.
I mean,
yeah, they're your friend, but they'd probably sleep with your wife when you left town.
They're like a friend of me.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, it's interesting. Let's see what happens, over there. The last bit of news on what's been happening here is that, I don't know if you guys felt it, but there was a rare earthquake that was recorded off Daytona Beach.
I heard about
day.
It, yeah, didn't so feel I it.
Know.
I mean,
no.
What and how did it affect us?
Well, it didn't. It's just the fact that, you know, you always worry that, imagine if there was an earthquake outside the Atlantic Ocean, we get a tidal wave that'll hit. You know, can you imagine if we had a tsunami?
Or let's say Florida breaks off from the rest of the
right.
country, the same way they say California could break off.
Well, I'm liking that that first Superman. Like, I'm hoping there's like a major tidal wave, so eventually my house is like beachfront property. You know, like way out here, we're what, about 19 miles inland. You know,
the Lex Luthor plan, is that what you're trying to go
exactly,
for?
Exactly.
So you're saying you don't think we'd feel that much effects from a tidal wave? Even being as far,
let's see,
we'd still fucking feel that we'd see that wave. You saw that movie fucking Day After Tomorrow? I think we'd see that
well,
wave.
Well, that's not like the tidal wave that hit, like,
Thailand.
Thailand or Japan.
Or
right.
Oh, those are huge, yeah, too.
No, but
no,
I think...
That's a tsunami. I mean, that's not a tsunami,
a typhoon, yeah, a or whatever, yeah, tsunami. Can that happen here?
Well, it's caused by an earthquake that happens under the ocean.
Right.
So that's what causes it, right?
Right.
But it's basically just, it's like a wall of water. It's not like a huge wave. It's basically just like water just, you know, it's high and it just washes in.
Water
just,
you
know, like crash down.
Water displaces from the ocean floor and presses up against the inland. And here's the thing, like, how big, like, all right, I'm about 19 miles inland. Like, John, if like you, where you're at too, you're closer to the beach, obviously. But if we had like a Malaysian or Thai, you know, from when that because that was what, 200 and something thousand people died, right?
So many people, yeah.
What year was that, in like 2008 or something? 2006?
Google Magic, John.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
And that one was from an earthquake.
I'm trying to remember how far inland it went. I don't remember.
But I remember that was huge in some of these low-lying countries. Remember when you see fucking elephants floating around? How big of a tidal wave would have to hit for me to get like drowned in my house? Because Elgin and I had some, remember the survival equipment we were coming
to tell
up
you,
with?
And also, I saw a link, somebody invented the pod that we were talking about.
It was in Japan.
The pod that can lift you up above the wave. Somebody fucking invented it.
But that was in Japan, right?
Yeah.
I saw it was like a bowl that's 2 and 4 seaters.
Yep.
It was 2004.
2004 was the first one, right? Which is off Malaysia
was
or Thailand?
Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami.
Right. And over 280,000 people. So, we were coming up with this thing that would like, it would be like a balloon. Remember, like it would be a pod that can go up in the air.
It lifts you up over the first initial wave, because that's, I think, the one you have to avoid the most is that first blast.
Right. So you get up in the air.
And then you can have food, water, supplies, and then you'd float in this little orb.
Yeah.
Until things subside.
Yeah, with a beacon and stuff that finds you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to make some money with that, I think.
But like I said, someone fucking took our idea, dude. They must listen to the Wake Up Late with Dougie
show. They
did.
They stole our idea.
Yeah.
We got to go on Shark Tank with this. That's what we were going to do. Remember, we were going to video the worst idea.
Oh, yeah. And then the Tupperware and the bucket of water.
We got an idea.
Here's the orb. And
And throw dirt at it. Look, if there's a storm.
And Mark Cuban, get the fuck out.
Yeah. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We got plenty of ideas here today. I'm here with Elgin David.
I am here.
And John Levine.
And we learned that tsunamis can travel as far as 10 miles inland.
10 miles.
So we're cool.
We're cool.
We're good to go.
All right. So I don't need to worry about that.
But everybody will be coming here because it's
everybody
dry.
Will be like backing up. Hey, back off. Don't come in my house. We only have room for 5.
Yeah. And stop trying to catch Pokemons on my lawn.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back with Straight From Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight From The Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
That's right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's time for Straight For The Headlines, where we talk about stuff that's happened around the world and make fun of it. Well, some things you still can.
Yeah, we can get away with it. We're comics.
That's right. Some benefits cards bear number for a sex line, not balances. I don't know if this is from another country.
Some benefits cards.
Some benefits cards bear number for sex line, not balances. Have you ever had that somebody play a practical joke on you? Hey, call me back at this number, and you call, and it's like a gay hotline.
Oh my god! Yeah, we
right.
Did so
old,
much.
An old trick.
Absolutely.
You know,
girls do that too. They had a thing on the radio. It was like the loser line. Remember that?
Right.
And if a guy asks you a number, you don't want to give him. You give him that number, and it leads you to a voicemail, which they play all the voicemails on the radio. Like all
That's
these
funny.
All these thirsty dudes. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, wait a minute. Because I thought it'd be funny, like, if just some message, like, she gave you the wrong number, dumbass.
Oh, no, it's like, it just goes, boop, you've reached a number, blah, blah, and then you're like, hey, Naomi, I met you at the bar, you're so fun, please call me back, and you hear all these, like, funny messages.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Some benefits cards bear number for sex line, not balances. In Lewiston, Maine, some holders of electronic benefits transfer cards, find that dialing the phone number on the back of the card gets the sex line, not their balances.
It's hilarious.
The Maine Department of Health and Human Services spokesman tells the news that officials have been aware for months that the phone number on some of the cards is off by one digit. L.J. Langier of Lewiston discovered the error this week when he went to check his EBT balance before going to the grocery store. What he got instead was a message welcoming him to America's hottest talk line. Langler says he thought he had misdialed, but kept getting the same message when he called back and spoke to them for about 45 minutes.
That's hilarious. There's a group of prank callers. I know, you know, Jim Florentine does prank calls. I listen to him a lot on, like, Pandora. There's another group of people called the Touch Tone Terrorists. Speaking about terrorists.
Right.
And they take advantage of people who do the same thing. They call a number, for instance, like, UPS or whatever, looking to track their package, but they're off by one number.
Right.
So they took advantage of that and made a phone number with that one off number. And when people called them, they would you know, do different voices and say they were UPS and then like fuck with the people, say, yeah, we threw your package down the river. Like it's hilarious. You know, there's a guy Blaze in the back. He burnt all the packages, you know, it's so great. But, it's funny to do that too.
A couple years ago, I had somebody kept calling me cause I guess somebody was selling their car and they're like, I'm calling about the car. You know, I'm like, well, how much you want to offer me?
Yeah.
Like, well, I come see it. Like, no, you gotta make me an offer. You got to buy it by. I'm going to send you a photo. I'm going to text you a phone number. I'm going to text you a photo of the car.
Yeah.
Why can't I look at it? No, you can't look at it. There was a problem. I don't want you to. You got to just buy it. It's as is. You know, you're fucking with the guy. You know, he's just stupid. But sometimes you take advantage of that, right?
Oh yeah, it's
like,
funny.
My new thing now, because like our phone, we had the problem with the phone.
Oh yeah, that's right. You got the phone. Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't ring, but you'll see on the TV that somebody's calling. So I grab the phone and I decide like I did Jim Florentine.
Right.
I'm like, hello, who's this? Like, oh, can I speak to Mr. No, he's not here anymore. He's gone. You know what I mean? He was on a balloon. He never came back.
Dude, his prank calls are so epic. I loved his prank calls.
This is fucking great.
Yeah, he's classic, man.
Here's another story. Naked couple arrested on stolen lawnmower in Joplin, Missouri. Authorities have arrested a couple accused of riding naked on the stolen lawnmower.
That's awesome.
Jasper County Sheriff's. Yeah.
What do you think's like they're going to get in more trouble for being naked or stealing the lawnmower?
That's a good question. Jasper County Sheriff's Detective Tim Williams said a 55-year-old man and a 40-year-old woman admitted that they rode the lawnmower home naked after their clothing was stolen while they skinny dipped in a creek northwest of Joplin.
Oh, that sucks, though.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh, not only was my shit stolen, but I got to drive you home on this fucking lawnmower.
But at the same time, now they have to steal a lawnmower. So it's like I have to commit a crime to not get arrested for being naked in public and indecent exposure.
But does it make sense? If you're naked and you're like, got no clothes, you're going to get on one of the loudest fucking things. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, by the way, we stole these cymbals and the bass drum that we're going to walk down the street with as well. The Joplin Globe reports that authorities arrested the pair on Tuesday morning on suspicion of stealing after finding them at a house with the riding mower parked in the front yard.
Where'd they get the key?
Yeah, do you need a key?
They hotwired this thing butt naked? Yeah, you do. I used to have a ride-on mower. You need it. It needs a key.
Williams says an investigation determined that the lawnmower didn't belong to either one of them. And that they didn't really have a lawn to cut anyway.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. Do you need a key for?
I'm pretty sure you need it, and you need a key for a ride-on mower. I mean, at least to put it in, you have to put it
ignition
on.
Switch.
Yeah,
like a regular lawnmower, you don't. You just turn the choke on or whatever,
and pull it. But I'm pretty sure with the ride-on mowers, it's pretty legit. You have to have a key. I mean, I used to ride one.
Yeah, but how long ago was that?
15, 16 years ago.
I was gonna say, you know. Yeah. I think nowadays you can.
It's like push button start.
Like everything has a push start. Like my car is push start. Like, do you use keys anymore?
I do. My roommates don't. My car's 3 years old, so.
Still have the key?
Yeah, but hey, it's better than my fucking 15-year-old car that I fucking had.
The Tiburon.
The 01 Tiburon.
It was like one of the only ones left on the road.
It probably was the last Tiburon.
You know, like you know when you see a car, like usually when you buy a car, you always see it. You know what I mean? Like, the minute you get a new car, you're like, oh, now you see it all over the fucking place.
Right.
But that was the one car. Like, I would be excited if I said, look, there's one of Elgin's cars.
I've seen one before. You know, I've actually, like, driving the Tiburon, I'd see other Tiburons. It's funny. I like when you see, like, rare, shitty cars. Like, when you see, like, a fucking Honda CRX or something. You're like, wow, I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, think about that. Let's think about cars you haven't seen in a long time. I'll come up with one. The Toyota MR2.
Okay.
Remember the MR2?
Actually, I know a guy that owns two of them.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. He likes to buy them and fix them up.
It's like the Miata, the Mazda Miata.
I've seen those around.
Yeah, and they're coming back.
I like when I see like an old like fucking Nova. Like, it's so cool when you get to see like a car like that. But right. I mean, like, when you see a Gremlin, you're like, whoa, it's fucking Gremlin.
Looks like a wedge.
Or a fucking Pinto over there.
Looks like a piece of cheese.
Speaking about Pintos, and I just want to throw this out there, if you're not watching Stranger Things on Netflix, you're missing out on a really great show.
Really?
Yeah, I just started watching it last night. I'm already five episodes in.
Netflix stock dropped
like
a rocket.
Dude, it's a great... It dropped?
Yeah, it was up to 99. Going back to... I bought it around 110.
Yeah.
And it went down. It was up to 99, 100, and then they beat the odd numbers, but they're... something. I don't know their direction when they went drop $16. Wow. After they announced.
Well, real quick, just endorsing this show, Stranger Things. It's based in the 80s. It's a sci-fi show. It's like Goonies mixed with the X-Files mixed with it's really cool. It's about like this kid gets abducted and there's like an alternate universe. If you're into shit like that, but right. The cool thing is it's very retro and 80s and the music is fucking awesome and it's super cool. Matthew Modine is in it. Winona Ryder. It's a really good show.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. What to watch with
Elgin David? Hey, maybe that could be a fucking show. What to watch with Elgin David? I'll tell you.
I wouldn't mind doing a show just about shit that's on TV.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Movies, right. TV shows. We could talk about America's Got Talent. That's another. Anyway, go ahead. What's the next story, Dave?
Here's a story. Police say man used brain preserving fluid to soak marijuana.
What?
Yeah, wasn't that in the remember on HBO the TV show on HBO 6 Feet Under?
Yes.
Right, which is the guy who was on Dexter.
Yeah,
worked for a funeral home. His dad owned, and his brother Nate, and they got in trouble because they were putting the sister who was like
the redhead. No, that's Lauren Ambrose.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I'm thinking about the one that was on the 70s show. That's on the Orange is the New Black.
That's Laura Prepon.
Yeah, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a central Pennsylvania man was charged Thursday after police say he sprayed fluid used to embalm a human brain on marijuana.
Wow, he smoked embalming fluid.
Yep, the state police in Carlisle charged 26-year-old Joshua Lee Long with abuse of a corpse and conspiracy.
What?
Yeah, there was that thing that like it was a while ago. Kids were like dipping cigarettes, like regular cigarettes and joints, into formaldehyde.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah,
yeah.
So it helped. Did something Long allegedly told her during a phone conversation from the Cumberland County Jail that he used the formaldehyde soaked pot to get high.
I wonder how that worked out.
Well, he's in jail. The defendant related that he knew it was illegal to have the brain and that he had another man would spray the embalming fluid on the weed to get high. Court records indicate a coroner concluded the brain was real and that Long supposedly named it Freddy. The coroners who examined the brain believe it was most likely a stolen teaching specimen. According to the arrest affidavit, Long remains in jail, and court records did not list a lawyer for him.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe he'll have the brain defend him.
Well, if he only had one, he would have stolen it.
If I only had a brain. Hey, I don't know if this is... I read this story, and I said, I wonder if this could happen. I thought of it. I think there was a movie where there was a sniper. I think it was one of these sniper movies.
Okay.
Or maybe it was American Sniper. I think it was American Sniper.
What happened?
Where he shot the guy and he went right through his eyepiece. Maybe it wasn't that movie.
No, that was that was The Godfather. Yeah. He shot Mo Green right in his eye.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about.
I'm fucking with you.
You're talking about the one with Tom Berenger and Billy Zane where they play the snipers.
I saw that. I don't know if that was it because it was recent. There was actually, it just showed the guy was, yeah, I think that Whatever. One too. But yeah, but that one was Sniper. That movie was called Sniper, right?
Right.
I think so. Deputy fires 1 in a billion shot into a suspect's gun barrel.
Wow.
Wow.
Aurora, Colorado. Investigators say an off-duty Colorado sheriff's deputy fired a bullet straight down the barrel of a suspect's gun.
Wow.
A shot they called a 1 in a billion. So somebody's pointing a gun at you, and you shoot, and it goes directly into their gun and just...
That's like a cartoon. It blows up. It peels back like a banana, you know?
You shoot the bullet in there, and it fucking clogs up the gun. It blows up when they try to shoot it. They get that black face.
Yeah, right? It's like when the baseball player was named Randy, when he hit the bird.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was fucking a 1 in a billion shot. That was crazy.
Remember that? When he's pitching it, right? On the way.
Randy Johnson, he was pitching, and then a bird flew by, and it exploded.
What a fucking bird. Can you imagine? That the odds of that bird is like the same odds of us dying in a terrorist attack.
Exactly. That's my point.
The details emerged in a letter from prosecutors Wednesday announcing that Arofo County Deputy Jose Marquez was justified in a shooting that the attempted robbery suspect who survived. Marquez also was found in the January, was wounded in the January shooting and is still recovering. The Aurora Sentinel newspaper in suburban Denver reports that Marquez was visiting his girlfriend's apartment when the two suspects approached him in the parking lot with their guns drawn. Mm. The off-duty deputy told investigators that one suspect told him to give it up. Marquez says the suspect fired first, and he shot back. One was wounded in the leg and arrested, and the other got away.
Mm.
How fucking crazy is that?
That is.
You know, it went, fucking, well, you should be lucky it didn't go into him.
Well, yeah, hey, he shot first, so he had it coming.
That's right. Hey, do you got SunPass?
I do.
You got the toll pass thing?
Yeah, I got it.
Yep.
I don't think you can drive around without having that. It's annoying.
Some people do, but they send you the, I guess they bill your
They bill you by plate, they take a picture, and it's more money. It costs more to do it that way.
I mean, I remember, I know when I was in, wife and I were in debt, when we went to Colorado, we rented the car, and we ended up getting on the highway that had that. I'm like, oh, well, you know.
Right, what are you going to do?
I can't get off the fucking road, right? I'm not going to get off the road.
Right.
Jersey City, New Jersey. Here's a story. Woman arrested after skipping more than 500 tolls.
Wow.
Well, that's the thing, though. In Jersey, there's so many fucking tolls.
Right.
A New Jersey woman has been arrested for allegedly skipping tolls, something authorities say she's done more than 500 times. The report says police attempted to stop 55-year-old Denise Simeon near the Holland Tunnel after learning she owed more than $16,000 in unpaid tolls.
Holy shit. That's a lot of driving.
Crazy.
That is a lot of money.
Think about 75 cents a piece, let's say, you know, for instance, for $16,000 worth. That's a lot of driving.
Like a lot of comics in Jersey and New York, they're like, if you ever want to go into town, it costs you like 20-something bucks just to get in there.
Can you just take the train, though?
I guess you could.
You can, but that still costs you money. But, I mean, just to get across the George Washington Bridge, I think now is 13 bucks.
Oh, my God.
Right, in a car. Some of those bridges are like, yeah, exactly, just about 15 bucks.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Port Authority of New York could say blah, 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 55, 60, and unpaid tolls. Port Authority of New York and New Jersey spokesman Joe Pentangelo says the Verona woman didn't stop and pass through the toll plaza again without paying before she stopped on the other side of the plaza. Simeon was charged Wednesday with theft of services and obstruction of justice. She's one of several people who've recently been charged with evading the Holland Tunnel's $15 toll. It's unclear if she has an attorney and who can comment and help her.
That's a major fucking toll, man.
$16,000.
But tolls. No, but not even that, but just 15 bucks to get across a bridge, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you've got the tunnel, you got the Holland Tunnel, you got the Midtown Tunnel. Those are all like 15 bucks.
It's crazy.
I think it's like 20 during rush hour.
Wow.
Well, they tried to do it because they don't want a lot of cars coming in. You know what I mean? They're trying to dissuade people from they want you to take public transportation.
Right.
So does the price fluctuate throughout the day or go up and down, or is it just one set price all the time?
No, during rush hour, it's more expensive.
Because they tried to do that here. They make the little easy pass lanes like $13 to get in the little fast lanes on 95.
The HOV lanes.
Right.
Yeah, that's based on how many people are using it, because what they try to do with that is they try to keep the average speed of the cars in there, like I think at 45 miles an hour. So if they track that the cars are going slower than that, because obviously they measure the distance between the time when you get on versus when you get off with your SunPass, then the price goes up so that less cars use it, and then it speeds up and then it goes back down.
And a lot of people complain about that now, because if there's ever an accident there. You know, I heard a few times going to the Heat games, you know, we get on there, it'd be like $8. Like, what? You know, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
But you don't want to get, you have to. You know, I was like, I got to do it. It's faster.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Sometimes we've gotten in it and there's been an accident. And you're like, oh, we got to get out of it.
And everyone runs over those fucking sticks
anyway.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're putting an express lane on the turnpike.
Really?
Yep.
And it's going to be an extra toll?
Yep. So there's going to be a toll road within a toll road.
Wow.
That's interesting. Well, I do kind of like what they're doing in a lot of these roads now. They have that middle road, like how you get more room for more.
595 has
right,
that now.
They have
that.
Where they have a two-way road, right? That they change it in directions depending on traffic.
Right.
Which I think is a great day. It's a great way to do it. You know what I mean? As opposed to building more. I mean, how many fucking lanes are you going to have, you know?
But the problem with the one in 595 is when it rains, that fucking middle lane floods.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. And then it's just like you paid to go sit in fucking water and potentially fuck your car up.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, so it sucks.
Anyway, hey, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. That's it, man. See how this goes now? No more WEI Network and enslaving over this fucking hour, you know, 105
minutes. We get to
see
our families.
That's right. We get to finally, you know, spend time with the kids and everything. But that's all we have time for. Again, I want to thank Elgin Dave for joining us today.
Thank you very much,
Dougie.
On his
day off, because tomorrow will be Peter Leonard. God, I'm here by myself with Peter unless Talia shows up.
Oh, my God. Don't kill each other, please.
I'm not going to tell Talia that he's here. I'm just going to say, I need you here. So, because if she...
Oh, that'd be funny.
Because then if... Yeah, because I don't know, you know, I don't know if she's going to show up if Peter's here.
Well, don't... You know what? Don't tell him that she's coming either.
Yeah, that'll be...
then you can see him squirming all... You know how he gets.
He gets all alpha male, like, oh,
whenever my girlfriend comes, he's all hitting on her, and he turns to a super perv.
Yeah. Even
but I wouldn't have anything less from Peter's funny.
Man. Yeah. Elgin's Peter's biggest fan.
But Talia doesn't like Peter? Or?
I don't know say she didn't like him, but, you know, she doesn't want to know if she wants to deal with him.
Well, she's, you know, she's a classy girl. She's engaged. She doesn't want to have, you know, deal with his perversions.
Exactly. You know, we understand.
I get it.
But tomorrow, Peter Leonard will be here, and maybe Talia Brahms will be here.
Cool.
On Thursday show, we will have a Thursday show. My good friend Steve Marshall will be here, and I'm sure we'll be talking about all kinds of stuff. And don't forget, Wednesday night's Tavolino's Wise Guys comedy show. Steve Marshall will be your headliner, along with myself and Maymay Durand.
Nice.
And John MC McKellen will be here, will be a guest spot. Don't forget, on Friday night, I'm going to be at the Backroom Comedy Club. I'll be headlining the room along with several other people. So that's there. By the way, visit my new website, DougieAlmeida.com. Got some things updated on that. Follow me on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous and on Instagram. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show and follow the show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Elgin?
You can follow me at ElginDavidComic or ElginDavid.com.
And John?
JohnLevineComedy.com is where you can find me.
There you go. Thanks again for listening, guys. Sticking with us. Don't forget to subscribe to us at WakeUpLateWithDougieShow.podbean.com. Listen to us on Stitcher and on iTunes. And we'll be back tomorrow right here at the same spot.
Suki plays with Leo. Sasha plays with Brit. Adolf builds a bonfire. Enrico plays with it. Whistling tunes, we hide in the dunes by the seaside. Could kill, they probably will. In games without frontiers, war without tears.